Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Acrow Full Year 2020 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. You may register to ask a question by pressing 0 followed by 1 on your telephone at any time. I must advise that this conference is being recorded today, Wednesday the 26th of August 2020. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speakers today, Mr. Stephen Bolland, Chief Executive Officer, and Andrew Crowther, Chief Financial Officer. Thank you, and please go ahead.
Thanks very much, and thanks for joining us this morning, folks. Apologise for the delay. We just had a technical breakdown at the crucial moment, so we're doing the call now over mobile, so I have us coming out loud and clear. So it's my pleasure today to be able to announce the Acrow results for the 2020 financial year. It's a year that I'm extremely proud of the efforts of everybody involved in the Acrow Group to put the business in a position to announce what I believe is an outstanding result. I'm going to walk through the investor presentation that we put out last night on the ASX site, and we'll emphasise some points in this. So I won't just go through dot by dot point, but I will just give the highlights as I see it across the year. So firstly, this year really continues the last 2 years of trajectory of the business in focusing on the highly value-added parts of our industry in formwork and now also in industrial scaffolding since the acquisition of Unispan. We've now got 75% of the sales contribution of the business coming out of those two areas compared to 25% in the commercial scaffolding area, and that's basically a complete reverse of the situation that the business was in 2 years ago when we became a listed company. So that transition now is pretty much complete to focusing on the highly evaluated parts of the business. One of the things before I get into the financial highlights and some of the other areas, particularly proud of the injury and safety records in the business over the last couple of years. The lost time injury frequency rate has dramatically dropped from 19.7 in 18 to 2.4, in fact, across the whole of the 20 financial year. We only had 2 lost time injuries in the whole of the group, so that's a record I'm particularly proud of and something we'll continue to focus on in the business, and you know, the safety of all of our employees is paramount in everything we do in the business. I want to just reiterate the Acrow strategy that we've been enunciating since we became a public company and give some updates on how we're tracking across the implementation of that strategy. Firstly, our aim is to become the leading engineered formwork sales and hire equipment solutions provider in Australia. That's a position that we've had in the Queensland market for some time. Certainly the acquisition of Unispan further enhances that position in Queensland. And I'm really proud to say today that from almost a zero position of 2 years ago, I would suggest we're in that position now in the Victorian market. We've done a very, very good job in penetration of the civil infrastructure market in Victoria. I'll give some more colour later in our presentation this morning in relation to this. We've still got some work to do in New South Wales, although we've been successful in getting a really strong foothold on major civil infrastructure projects in New South Wales, but I just see this as an upside. We've been able to deliver the results that we have today for last year, knowing we've still got considerable room for further improvement and penetration of the New South Wales market. Our second point of our strategy, which is really become extremely prevalent in the business and important in the business since the acquisition of Unispan, is to further develop the scaffold solutions business to the industrial scaffold market. You'll see later in the presentation the returns that we're making out of that business since we purchased Unispan, all just coming out of Queensland. So we're taking some significant steps now to grow that footprint across the rest of the country. It's a large market. It's a market where safety and quality are highly regarded, and we're now going to be leveraging very strongly off the experience and reputation we have in that market, also in Queensland. Third point is about recruiting and training and retaining the best management engineering talent to drive the business. I'm going to say that I've been involved in sort of 30-odd years now of senior management level across a range of businesses, and I've never seen a better group of young managers and engineers in the business than we have today in Acrow. Again, a position that has changed dramatically over the last couple of years. The profile of our of our senior team and also some of the younger people that are coming through in the business has dramatically changed, and we now have some very, very talented people working in our business. Our national engineering manager, Matt Caparella, is a 30-year-old guy who's come through the business over time, now is leading a group of upwards of 30 engineers. Our Queensland State General Manager, Jan Pienaar, who's running a business that's almost half of the size of our business, is a guy in his mid-30s. And there are other significant examples. The guy that's now running our New South Wales Natform business is a 29-year-old, is doing a remarkable job already. So we've got some really, they're just examples of a very broad group of very talented people, and we continue to now become, I think now, the employer of choice in this industry from a position of sort of 6 or 7 years ago where we were far from that. In terms of high return on investment organic growth, the main thing here now really for us is that we've now got a broad range of products through the acquisitions of Unispan and Natform to be able to grow the footprint of those businesses nationally, and we're doing it successfully. So we've now got a screens business in Victoria where Natform ever operated. It's going very well. And we now actually have Unispan product in every state. So we previously, and we knew Unispan was 90% Queensland, 10% New South Wales. We've now got Unispan products in Victoria. That's really enhancing our ability to further penetrate that civil market. And we've now got Unispan products in Tasmania, South Australia and Western Australia. So, and that's still in its infancy. So great opportunity to grow that footprint of the gear that we've now got through Unispan in that form. The last point here is an interesting one. We've said that our primary focus on growth has been in formwork and now industrial scaffold, but there's a really interesting situation now arising in the commercial residential scaffold space that I'll elaborate probably more on the next page, but there's no doubt that market is under some pressure, and because we don't rely on that market for the large percentage of our earnings now, we find ourselves in a position where we might almost be in the last group standing of service providers in that particular space. So there's a lot of companies that are just focused on that are now under a fair degree of duress. So we're looking at some interesting opportunities just in terms of our growth profile and our profile in general in that particular part of the industry, where we're a player. It's not the key part of our driver, but because we've got so much penetration and growth coming out of the other parts of our business, we could be in this last group standing in this particular area. Next part of the presentation is just the map of Australia and where we operate, but the thing I wanted to stress here is really about that last point. We're actually in a unique position in the Australian market. There is no company that operates like ACRO across the geographies that we operate and across the various disciplines that we operate in. There's no national provider that operates in formwork, screens, industrial scaffold and commercial residential scaffold, no other company. So we are in a great position to be able to change tax depending on what markets are strong at what particular time. We now have an enormous number of levers that we can pull to enhance our profitability, and that's just been accentuated by the Natform and Unispan acquisitions as well as the capital program that we've undertaken in the last 2 years to get us further penetration of the civil market. So I feel particularly good about this. It's something that we guard with great jealousy now that we're in this position that I think is unique in the Australian market. I'll walk through quickly now the key highlights of the business and the key achievements across the year, especially into the second half. We've now completely integrated the Unispan business that we bought in November of 19. We've now got, going into the 21 year, $2.2 million of annualised cost savings, which is in excess of what we initially were looking at. I'll go into a bit more detail as to where those savings are coming out from shortly, but that business is now 100% integrated into ACRO. We all know that we've gone through a very challenging period, not just for Australia, but the rest of the world, but certainly in Australia in terms of COVID-19. And again, I'll go in more detail, but we got on the front foot very early in terms of undertaking some cash-saving measures that will result in upwards of $6 million in reduced cash outflow by September of this year. And as at June 20, $3.2 million of that $6 million had been achieved. So I'll go into more detail about that shortly. Tremendously for our business, over the period of COVID, we've actually had a record pipeline and secured contracts. We're up 62% in secured contracts over FY19 levels. And the majority of this has been in this last 3 to 4 months, actually, since COVID has been kicking in. So it's been tremendous for our business to be able to achieve this result, give us our run rate now into 21 in a period that's been obviously very difficult for the economic environment of the country. I mentioned earlier about the expanded offering and footprint. We're now integrating Unispan, ULMA, NatForm and Acro products across all states. It's now part of what we do. It's part of our DNA. There's a great opportunity that's opened up for us in becoming a strong sale product business as well as a hire business that I'll talk a bit further about later on. So, we feel like, again, we're in this great, unique position now to have the range of products that we can offer across all the geographies. We've had a very, very good 6 months in terms of our cash position off a few things. Firstly, the very strong cash flow we've generated in second half 20, the COVID-19 mitigation measures that we've undertaken, but one of the, again, remarkable results in the business given the environment that the country is operating in is our debtors days have actually come down 7 days on a like-for-like period last year. Now, that's great credit to our credit team and our debtors team and the management that supports that. So, that puts us in a really strong cash position going into this new year. And again, very pleased to say the acquisition that we made like 2 years ago, NatForm, has just had its best quarter over the 2 years that we simply purchased that business. I'll go into more detail again about that shortly, but that's very pleasing to see that business is now completely integrated into Acro, and to see a result that we did in that fourth quarter and also going into this new financial year is very pleasing. Key financials, we had $87 million of revenue for the year. Annualised revenue for the business now is circa 100. It's good to sort of break through that 100 barrier and hopefully continue to head north. Normalised EBITDA of $15 million, up 30% on last year. Normalised NPAT of $9 million, up 20% on last year. Net debt of 14.6, whilst it's up $10.9 million. That's all primarily off the back of the Unispan acquisition. Our sales contribution margin has held. We're very pleased to be able to announce that we're going to be paying a 1.05 fully franked dividend based on last year's result, operating cash profit of $11.2 million. And then you can also see then on the next page of the presentation just how strong that second half was. So $48.9 million, which gets us to this circa $100 million of annualised revenue, $9.5 million of EBITDA for the second half, $6.6 million of NPAT, et cetera, et cetera. So a very, very strong second half to the year. Next page is the presentation of the executive summary. A few things that I'll point out here primarily that I haven't already touched on is in the bottom right-hand side of that presentation, which is the chart, you can see that in second half 20, we had an EBITDA margin of 19.4%, the highest that the business has ever recorded. So that's obviously very pleasing. In terms of the chart above that, you can see that 42% of our revenue comes out of Queensland, 29% out of New South Wales, 14% out of Victoria. That might seem like a low number for Victoria, but it's because it's primarily almost coming out of civil infrastructure work in Victoria. The other things that I want to just mention here, I've already gone through some of these other numbers, but our increased focus on equipment sales means that it's now representing 17% of group revenue, which is significantly higher than it has been in the past. We're aware of current broker estimations of results for this year. Our statement here is that we're comfortable with those at the moment in terms of the 21 financial year. Just to give a bit more detail now around the COVID-19 response and also the integration of Unispan. So, look, as soon as the whole issue of COVID-19 came into the Australian economy, so we acted very quickly, got onto the front foot in terms of discussions with our banking partner, Westpac, who were tremendous in giving us support for a six-month deferral of principal repayments on our debt. That finishes at the end of September. That 6 month deferral has just been added to the end of the debt. So we don't have to catch that up in terms of increased cash flow. It just means we've got the debt for 6 months longer than we otherwise would have. So we're very thankful for the support we've got from Westpac in that regard. We have lost no days and we've had no cases, touch wood, so far of COVID-19 across any of our operations. Our operations have continued to operate normally. We mentioned in excess of $6 million in reduced cash outflows. One of the major things other than the banking arrangements was that we renegotiated a range of our property leases. Now, this wasn't deferring rent and paying the rent later. This was taking the opportunity to renegotiate rents based on properties that were coming up for renewal in the next 1 to 2 year period, and there was a number of those. So extending the leases on properties that we knew we were going to want to stay involved in long term, and taking the advantage of rent-free periods offered by the landlords as part of the compensation for entering into a longer-term lease and giving them security. So again, this is not a deferral of an expense that we'll have later on. It was just an opportunistic time for us to be able to renegotiate rents. And we did cancel the dividend we were going to pay for the 6 months up to June, but we're now very pleased to be able to pay a dividend into the new six-month period. In terms of the Uni-span integration, it is complete. It was complete on schedule. I've mentioned the cost savings of $2.2 million. The vast majority of those savings actually come out of closing two depots. So we closed the depot at Huntingwood in New South Wales, and we closed the depot at Yatala in Brisbane and consolidated them completely into existing ACRO depots, saving circa $800,000 just in rent alone. The sales and engineering teams are fully integrated, and the expertise coming out of Uni-span in both of those areas just further enhances the expertise that's already been in our business, especially in that engineering area. And two areas where, fair to say, Uni-span were better than ACRO was in purchasing and in marketing. So we've now inherited and brought into the business great expertise in purchasing, where we're already seeing benefits on capital equipment and stock purchases. And in marketing, we've got enhanced capabilities in marketing due to the expertise that's come out of Uni-span in that area. I mentioned operations have been significantly expanded in Victoria. We've now got the full range of Uni-span products being employed on some of the biggest civil projects in the country in Victoria. That's given us, again, that the opportunity to get to the market position we now have in that area. And I mentioned also that we've now got Uni-span products in all of the country. And we're just starting in that area in Tasmania and Western Australia and South Australia, but already it's giving us excellent results out of that. So fully integrated, very pleased with the acquisition, and it's all systems go for us from there. In terms of the markets, we like to roll out our major transport infrastructure project list because it continues to show the trajectory of that market. One of the big things for us on this list is, and one of the real major changes, has been the focus on rail projects. We've got great penetration on the Melbourne Metro Rail project. The major successes we've had in Sydney formwork have come off the Sydney Metro Rail project. The Queensland Cross River Rail project is just in its infancy. We expect to see significant revenues coming out of that project for us over the next 18-month period. And also the Perth MetroNet rail project. We've got our first significant order in relation to that project, but it's actually a car park at one of the stations being built. We've got about a $400,000 order, higher order on that project. A couple of projects that aren't mentioned here, one in particular, is the Snowy 2 project. It's not on this list, but we have the first formwork equipment on that job. We've just provided ACRO equipment to act as the launch pad for the tunnel boring machine for the first part of the Snowy project. That's the sale of equipment onto that project, but it's considerable revenue. But more importantly, it gets us as the first formwork provider to what's going to be probably the largest formwork project in the whole of Australia over the next 3 to 5 years. In terms of the state of the markets in our sort of stop-go mode here, civil is certainly very strong in Queensland. It's stable in New South Wales, but about to get strong again. So a lot of the major projects are sort of coming to a halt, and then you can see if you live in Sydney, things like the Rosedale interchange is just starting to get going. The cranking up of that's going to be a major contributor for us. South Australia is stable, Western Australia is good, Tasmania is stable. Commercial is all quite reasonable in the country, except in Western Australia at the moment. Clearly, industrial is good in Queensland, and we are going to get some penetration this year in New South Wales. Residential in Queensland, New South Wales is definitely soft. I'll talk a little bit about that later on. That's the area that's probably going to be under the most pressure in terms of the COVID-19 issue in the country. In terms of the hire wins and pipeline, you can see tremendous result over this last 12 months. Hire contracts won has gone up by 62% on a like-for-like period. It's up 21% on the first half of this year, and our current pipeline is up 63% on a like-for-like period. Clearly part of that story is now Uni-span and what Uni-span brings to ACRO, but just in general, We've got a lot better penetration of all the markets that we're operating in, just about without exception. So that gives us a great springboard as a key indicator into the new year. In terms of the segmental breakdown in Acro, again, you can see the change that's happened with formwork and total formwork. So our sales have gone up in formwork from 39 million to 50 million between 19 and 20. Our commercial and residential scaffold has declined by 5 million, but the absolute factor there is that we've now completed our exit of the two-storey house residential market in both Victoria and New South Wales. That used to be quite a key contributor to Acro over the last sort of 6 to 7 years, but we made the strategic decision to get out of that business about 12 to 18 months ago. We've now completely exited that business. It's low quality, it's highly competitive, fragmented, and probably going to be a market in decline. And then you'll see the new entry of industrial scaffold, which has contributed just in this year, 10 million in revenue and 4.8 million in sales contribution. So you can see it's a very high margin business, similar to formwork. In terms of cost control, certainly we've had a very good result in terms of our yard management over the last year, even despite bringing Unispan into the business, and half on half our yard costs actually reduced. Labour and other costs have gone up in line with the acquisition of Unispan. So, you know, with an increase of $1.6 million between half one and half two in labour in that area is all overhead labour to do with the management and staff that we brought along with Unispan as part of Acro, despite the significant number of reductions that we've made there that were able to give us some cost savings. So you can see our underlying EBITDA 11.5 up to 15 on a year-on-year basis. In terms of divisions, again, formwork, total revenue of 39 to 50. You will see a very significant contribution now at product sales, which was part and parcel of the Unispan business, but is now also becoming part and parcel of the Acro business. The theory here is we sell new product primarily, but also some second-hand product, but we sell products to formworkers on the basis that they then are tied to using our kit versus one of our competitors' kit. You then get further sale opportunities as their businesses grow, and you get higher opportunities off the back of the fact that their predominant kit that they use in their business is Acro / Unispan / Fulmer equipment. So that's now that's part and parcel of what Acro now does, and you'll see that all the time in our business going forward with greater focus. Our hire revenue grew 17% year on year, despite New South Wales being relatively stable. One of the major reasons there is we actually made a strategic decision to stop servicing our previous biggest New South Wales formwork customer. We used to generate around 1.5 to 2 million a year in hire revenue. We stopped servicing that guy because he was a significant bad debt risk and his actually business has gone into receivership. Now we made a decision 9-10 months ago to stop servicing him, and it was a very good decision to do so. But that did have some impact on revenues that we previously experienced. You can see we've added cartage here. We've added cartage to the formwork business as a number. We've always had a small element of cartage, but the Sun Metals job that we've undertaken, which is probably the best job that we've been involved in over, you know, certainly my 7 years with Acro. There was a considerable amount of revenue generated in movement of equipment out of Brisbane into Townsville. That did generate a good profit margin for the business, so we've reflected that effort here. The formwork business has had a great year in terms of winning contracts and extending contracts. I mentioned Sun Metals, the Queens Wharf commercial project in Queensland, where we've got Super Cuplock and also now Acro Powershore as propping on that job. It's the biggest commercial project in Queensland. You know, I'll talk a little bit later more about that project. Considerable revenues going into the 21 year from that project. Melbourne and Sydney Metro Rail and Melbourne Western Distributor projects. And look, I'm really pleased to say in that form, I've mentioned two projects there, but over the last 3 months, that form nationally has won $4.4 million worth of new projects in 3 months. The national revenue budget for that business is $8.5 million. So we've achieved more than half of that in new sales in the last 3 months. And like late breaking news was yesterday, we won a $1.1 million screen contract for a Meriton's tower project in Parramatta that starts in November. So that business is now going extremely well. Commercial and residential scaffold, you'll see that if you look at the chart, we had $7 million of revenue in that area in 19 and $3 million of contribution down to $500,200. So the complete exit is now that business. If you actually take that out of the story, though, we've actually had some growth in our divisional revenue, about 6% growth outside of exit of that particular part of the business. Prices in this market certainly continue to soften. And as I mentioned, there's probably, that's the area of our business where there would be some question around what the effects of COVID-19 will be. The way I'm now looking at ACRO and looking at our markets is if you're in a space where you're involved in government-funded projects, as we are very strongly, you're going to be in for a good time. If you're in a space where you're primarily dependent on privately funded projects, it's going to be more challenging. So, you know, we feel like that pivot that we made 2 years ago towards infrastructure that we always knew was a good decision for the business has just been even further accentuated now by the issues of COVID-19 bringing to the Australian market. And then lastly here, the industrial scaffold division, as I mentioned, you can see it's a very strong generator of profit, very strong generator of contribution margin. It's just a Queensland-based business at the moment. We've got some early contract wins in New South Wales. We just announced last week that we've resecured the Origin Energy contract in the Surat Basin, which is an absolute core part of that business, will contribute, you know, $2 to $3 million a year with revenue. It's very specialised, it's highly technical, it's a safety orientated business, and we've got strong ambitions to grow this business nationally. In terms of key contract wins, I'll rip through these. Sun Metals Townsville, we've mentioned that many times. It's pretty much wrapped up now at the end of June, but it's contributed about $7 million in revenue and high profit to that second 6 months of last year. We did a very, very good job on this project and you know, we're getting strong recommendations from everybody we were involved in. Sydney Metro Rail, we have got $4.5 million worth of revenue, a combination of hire equipment onto the Marrickville and Chatswood stations and a little bit to Waterloo and Victoria Cross. And the large revenue contributor was a $3.2 million sale to BKH Contractors, who are the formworker working on the Barangaroo station. The last of that equipment will be provided in about November of this year. So of that $3.2 million in sales, $2.5 million was in the last financial year, $700,000 of it will be this financial year. I mentioned Queens Wharf, where we've now got a combination of Super Cuplock and Powershore on that job. That's just really starting now, and it's going to be going for another 2 years, and there's far more revenue to be generated out of that job over time. Melbourne Metro Rail, $3.5 million to date. And again, significant opportunities for more. You can see it across a range of products and a range of areas, and it's sale of product as well as hire, $438,000 of the $3 million in sale of product. The Melbourne Western Distributor continues to go well for us, and again, that there are further revenues to be experienced out of this over the next 2 years. $3.5 million of work secured to date, and that I expect that number to double over the next 2 years. I've mentioned here two large Natform contracts in New South Wales, because you can see they are large contracts worth $855 and $700 respectively, and the contract we secured yesterday is the biggest of the lot at $1.1 million. So happy to be operating. Now we're really kicking goals in that space now. Excuse me. The Opera Residences, we mentioned that year, primarily because it's a great example of ACRO and Natform working together, where we've got the full suite of products, perimeter scaffold, Super Cuplock for propping, and also Natform screens, but done as one package on that job. And just to show that we're not just an East Coast company, Launceston, $460,000 job won for a waterfront hotel complex that's commenced. That's a very big contract for Tasmania, and in a business where our total hire revenues are normally around about $150,000 a month, to get one job that would contribute $460,000 in the next 6 months is very strong. And again to mention Perth, that job is on a car park on the Metronet. So we are a national company, although, you know, we've obviously got the majority of our revenues on the East Coast. Tasmania, South Australia and Western Australia are very good to have for us and are all profitable businesses that contribute. So I'll hand over now to Andrew to go through the detail of the P&L and also to go through the detail of balance sheet and cash flows.
Thanks, Steve, and welcome to everyone online. So if I get onto slide 24, the profit and loss statement. Now, this is a pre-AASB 16 profit and loss statement, so we ignore the impact of IFRS 16. So the cash rents within the EBITDA, but we take out the IFRS 16 depreciation and interest. So our NPAT underlying for the year increased from 7.5 million to 8.6 or 8.7, sorry, from 7.5 million up to 8.982 million for the year. And I'll just take you through the components of that. Steve's already gone through the increase of EBITDA from 11.55 to 15 million, which basically was the result of the transition from what we were before to the company we are today, which includes the 12 months of Natform and the 8 months of Unispan, which was an outstanding result. But that also was offset by the reduction in the two-storey residential loss of EBITDA in that. Now, from a depreciation point of view, you'll see our non-IFRS 16 depreciation increased from $3.3 million up to basically $5 million. Now, that's an increase of 53%. That's pretty much in line with our property and equipment increase of 62%. Now, our Unispan increase of $25 million plus last year's roughly $9 million of CapEx and this year's just over $12 million of CapEx was the result of, basically resulted in that increase. Then we get down to tax expense, the tax line. So last year we had a $59 million tax expense. This year we have a $321,000 tax credit. Now that's the combination of a couple of things. Basically we have some tax paying entities within the group now, being Natform and Unispan, and we're able to make use of certain deductions, including importantly accelerated depreciation, that basically reduced their tax payments to negative. Also, but most importantly, the main part of this credit is, as would have been discussed before, we have extremely large tax losses within the ACRO group, which we've been able to continue to use to offset any tax expense and tax payable. These will be able to be used for the foreseeable future, and as such, we had a tax expense credit of $321,000. And just as importantly, we have no tax payable for the 2020 year this year. Now, going forward, we expect very minimal taxes to be paid, but also, just as importantly, we expect there's going to be some research and development credits that will flow through to these results as well that will definitely even improve that. Now, taking all that into account, we get to an NPAT underlying of just under $9 million. Now, our earnings per share increased from 4.4 cents per share to 4.62 cents per share, which is an outstanding outcome given the fact that our weighted shares increased from 172 million to 195 million. Now, getting down to our actual NPAT reported, this is pre-IFRS 16, we reduced from 4.9 million down to 4.1 million. Now, the majority of this difference is because of the significant items. So significant items of $3.5 million for the year. That was almost all entirely related to the acquisition and integration of Unispan. Basically, 3.3 million of that was the Unispan acquisition and integration. Now, as you can imagine, there's 10 depots and in particular some very large ones that were integrated. It's a very expensive process. So the way we see this was an investment into the integration, and that won't be repeated in the following year from a Unispan perspective. That is fully integrated, and basically from the 21 year onwards, the EBITDA coming from that business won't be imposted by this. Just below, as Steve's already mentioned, we announced today a fully franked dividend of 1.05 cents per share. Now that basically translates to a 1.5 cent unfranked dividend. Now that franking credit is a pretty good thing given the fact that we're actually not paying any tax for the 2020 year. And below that we've put in a table that basically shows you what the result would have been and how it relates to the actual financial statements themselves if we'd taken out the actual lease payments of 4.4 million and then we included in the depreciation and interest from an IFRS 16 perspective. So our EBITDA would have been 19.4 and our NPAT reported would have been 3 million. Moving over to the balance sheet, in slide 25. So the balance sheet has basically been impacted by two very, very large things, which is the IFRS 16 implementation and the acquisition of Unispan.
I'll just hint on the April 16th firstly, just to get that out of the way. As you know, we have to bring all the future payments discounted to today onto balance sheet. Now, at the first, we didn't change the comparative in 2019. So as of the 1st of July, on the right of use assets, we took on $17.8 million. And from the lease liability point of view, we took on $18.4 million. Now, as already discussed, there was a lot of renegotiations of our leases as part of the COVID response. And because they were quite long dated leases, between 5 and 10 years, all of those commitments have been brought online. So our right of use asset increased from 17.8 up to 32, just over 32 million, and our lease liabilities increased from 18.4 to just over 34 million for the year. Now, as you know, at the 31st of October, we acquired the Unispan business, and the main adjustments that occurred on the balance sheet from that, we took on property, plant, and equipment of $25.2 million. And also we took on debt of $13.75 million. That is down as of 30th of June to $12.6 million. Now, if we have a look from a net debt perspective, our net debt went from 7.1% up to 20% for the end of the year. That was down from 24% in December. Now, our net debt, included within net debt, is $7.2 million of cash. Now, that cash, which Steve's already talked about, the increase in cash was a result of a very good second half EBITDA outcome, some very, very good debtors days reduction. So it went down by 7 days, down to 58 days. As of today, that's actually reduced even further down to 56 days, but that's a great outcome. But also the COVID-19 mitigations that Steve's already talked about. Also within net debt is obviously the loans and borrowers themselves. Now, the big increase in that was basically Unispan and some increase in our equipment finance. And net debt to EBITDA is now just below 1. Which we're very, very comfortable with, and that'll continue decreasing through the following year. Now, if I get down to, I just want to highlight one other thing within the balance sheet, which is the tax liabilities. Just to reiterate, that $5.284 million tax liabilities, that is not a current tax payable. What that is the deferred tax liabilities that will unwind over the following years, and most of that is from Unispan and some from Natform as well. So I'll move over to the next page, then 26, our cash flow. So the top page is our operating cash profit. As you know, the way we define operating cash profit is underlying EBITDA less maintenance capex. Now, that's been increasing each year, and FY20, it was $11.2 million operating cash profit, basically from a underlying EBITDA of $15 million, less a maintenance capex of $3.8 million. Now, maintenance capex basically increased by essentially the increase in depreciation that occurred during the year. Now, if we get down to the actual what happened to our cash flow during the year, our net debt started at 3.6 and finished at 14.6. Now, the adjustments in between this, we had $21.6 million of cash flow from operations. Now, the way that you would reconcile this with the financial statements that we provided previously or yesterday was we had cash generated from operations of $16.3 million plus proceeds from the sale of X-Hire here of $5.3, which we classify as just an operational amount, so $21.6. Now, excuse me, so this 21.6, as I said before, was because of the outstanding EBITDA second half, the COVID response, and our reduction in debtors days. Now then, obviously, we did spend $3.5 million in significant items that came out, so we see that as an investment amount. We had cash payments on leases at 4.4, finance costs of about 1.4, We did have investment into CapEx of over $12 million and obviously the acquisition of Unispan of $12.2 million of cash. We also had a Natform deferred payment of $2.25 million. The second Natform deferred payment will be occurring at the end of September, beginning of October, which will also be $2.25 million. We had a capital raise at the in December of just under $5 million net after cost, and we had a cash dividend of $1.4 million. That was net of the DRP. That was the final dividend of 2019, which got us to a point of $14.6 million of net debt. Getting on to the next slide, capital expenditure. So what this graph on the top left shows us is that capital expenditure has obviously increased a lot from the 16 year through to 20. But as Steve was talking about before, this business has been through a very large transition to where it is today, from a fairly small amount of CapEx spent previously. F19 had 9.6 and this year 12 million. Now that basically, we don't expect that to continue at those levels ongoing. We probably see we've got a CapEx budget which we see going next year, of the 2021 year, about $7 million, and that's probably more a sustainable amount. Now, maintenance, this $12 million was broken up between the maintenance CapEx, which basically has increased in line with annualised depreciation, which we all already talked about, and $8.2 million of growth. Now, the majority of that actual growth CapEx, $7.2 million, was spent in the second half of the year. Now, we've included an amount of what the main items of that of the growth CapEx were on the right, but it's important to point out that $3.1 million of super couple-up, just to give you an example of how growth CapEx works, most of that was deployed on the Sun Metals job, and that's already coming off that Sun Metals job. That gear is now being redeployed to another site. I think I'll leave that there and hand back to Steve.
Okay, thanks Andrew. So just on our outlook into the new year and again some of the priorities the business has. First quarter 21, slightly down on what was an exceptional fourth quarter 20, mainly because the Sun Metals contract has sort of come to a practical completion, but still very, very strong results into the first quarter. Worth mentioning, the current Melbourne lockdown, absolutely no operational impact to date. We continue to operate where we've received permits to be essential providers to civil infrastructure, but definitely there are delays in new privately funded projects. Thankfully for us, that's a very small part of what we are involved in these days. Clearly the record new sales I've mentioned earlier provides a positive forward indicator. The things that will help us further grow our profitability into 21, clearly the 12-month contribution from Unispan, the spread of our products across the geographies, across the markets, including Unispan and NatForm products now, what we believe will be further increased activity levels from government-funded civil projects in all states. The new product sales I've talked about, so you know, we are now a business that sells, gets 70% of its revenue for new product sales. We're about to launch an online platform that's effectively a click-and-collect style program that will make working with ACRO in the sales area far easier. There were a number of industrial maintenance contracts that were delayed that are now starting up again to help our Queensland industrial scaffold business. And we really look like we're going to have, that we will have continued growth in our NatForm business, both in New South Wales and Victoria. There is a softer outlook for privately funded commercial residential projects. We talked about where we think our forecast for this year is, we're comfortable with current range. And overall, as we said, transport infrastructure will continue to be strong through 23. And finally, just want to take you through sort of the real key wheel, if you like, of things that will make the ACRO business tick and will continue to make us tick into the future. I've talked about the new clients and the markets, expanding and promoting our formwork capabilities across the country. Developing the national footprint for industrial scaffold is key. Further enhancing our product sales and our through the online platform and greater focus in the business. We expect that to grow as part of the business. Commercial scaffold is interesting because whilst it's a market that is probably in decline, still believe there's opportunities for ACRO to actually grow its business here because we think we will be amongst that group of last men standing. Now certainly there are things that are coming up at the moment that are proving quite interesting as I mentioned before, competitors are really challenged when they're only operating in that business and don't have other markets that they can profit from that are strong, while this is not a strong area. And all of that comes through the major competitive advantage of ACRO being our tremendous engineering team who've got great expertise and are absolutely focused on our customer outcomes and are flexible and a really bright team of people here that make the ACRO difference. And again, this issue of employing high caliber professionals, we continue to be attracting very, very good people. I think almost best in breed people coming into our business now. And the vast majority of people coming into the business have an incredible can-do attitude. I mean, I like to say the way I say it, they just get it. They understand how to make money. They are profit-focused. They are customer-focused. They understand the balance of that. And it just makes it a very exciting time for me to be the managing director of this business. So I thank you for your attention. And I guess we'll now open up for any questions that might be coming from the participants today. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. You may register to ask a question by pressing 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There may be a slight delay whilst participants register and we collect names. Once again, that's 01 to register and 02 to cancel. Our first question is from Alex Liu. Alex, your line is open.
Morning there, Steve, and morning, Andrew. Just a few questions from me. So maybe I'll just start with the hire pipeline. So that's been up 63% versus FY19 levels. But can you just remind us about the projects or the identified projects that are included and not included in that pipeline, please?
Alex, we only include projects in that pipeline that we've actually got a live tender in. So where we don't have a live quote or a tender for them, we don't include it in our pipeline because, and that will include a whole range of things like the next part of Snowy, for example. We've got no Snowy revenue in the pipeline because there's no more packages coming out for the next 3 to 6 months. We've won the first package, but that is only live quotes. Now, I think in the past we've spoken about the fact that we get a conversion rate in forework and screens of somewhere around 40 to 50% of everything we quote on, and our conversion rate in scaffold is more like 13 or 14%. So that's the dynamic, but it's fair to say that the vast majority of work in the pipelines relate to the formwork part of the business and the screens part of the business.
Okay, thanks. And in terms of projects and, I guess, start dates, are you noticing any delays at the moment? And if so, how long?
Not in civil at all. So civil infrastructure is going completely the reverse way, Alex. At the moment, they're being sped up rather than slowed down. And in Melbourne, where, Melbourne's in absolute lockdown, as we all know, but the major civil projects we're working on there being the Metro Rail and the Western Distributor are actually speeding up their requirements rather than slowing them down. So that's obviously great for ACRO being in the space we operate in. I mentioned earlier, privately funded projects is another question. So there's a number of schools of thought around what is going to happen to privately funded projects, whether they will continue to be delayed if they have not already commenced, or whether once we get, hopefully, out of some of the current restrictions that a lot of us are facing, that they actually see some pickup. I'm not going to speculate. It's a hard one to answer because I don't think any of us have any idea at the moment. When is Melbourne going to come out of lockdown? Hopefully the rest of us aren't going to go into that same situation. But again, I say fortunately for us, where we get the vast majority of our earnings these days is going in the reverse. It's actually speeding up rather than slowing down.
Thanks, Steve. And maybe if I could just ask about the industrial scaffold side of the business. So I think you mentioned potential sales into PNG. So can you just talk about that, please, and any other international markets you're looking at?
Oh, we do sell into PNG.
All right.
So
okay.
We sell scaffold out of the Unispan business into PNG for use on industrial projects. So we don't operate up there. We don't hire equipment into PNG. We don't provide labour in PNG. We sell equipment to providers in the industrial space there. As an example, we did a $1.7 million sale of gear into PNG in July. Right? So that's something Unispan does across the year. They've got long-standing relationships now with industrial providers up there who buy our equipment for use.
And are there any other markets that you're looking at?
Oh, we have a watching brief in New Zealand. That hasn't gone the way we thought it might have at the moment. We continue to watch that space. We think civil infrastructure in New Zealand is interesting. I said it's more of a watching sort of brief for us in that area at the moment. But look, I don't see I don't see it. And we're not going to be selling gear into Singapore or Asia or US or Europe. We're not, that's not going to be part of Acro's business. But within the, you know, within the Oceania region, yeah, and PNG is an example of that, yeah, we will be.
Okay, great. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Andrew.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to register a question, please press 01 on your telephone. Our next question comes from Michael Mantisellis. Michael, your line is open.
Good morning. It's very pleasing to hear about the result in financial year 20. My question's a little bit perhaps left field, or maybe not, I'm not sure. The Victorian government has floated the idea that as part of a stimulus to boost the economy, it may invest quite a bit of money and accelerate the recladding of various high-rise buildings that are vulnerable to the flammable cladding problem. Is that an opportunity for ACRO? And if so, how are you positioned for that?
Yeah, Michael, look, it's an interesting one, I think, because a lot of people have been speculating about the opportunity that may come from recladding across the country, you know, the last few years after the, you know, horrific fire in London. We really haven't seen that to any great degree yet. I mean, for us, it would be, it's probably a scaffolding opportunity primarily, you know, because people are going to need to work at height. But look, I have to say at the moment, you know, I don't think we've got a recladding job going on. I don't think there's not as much activity, I think, as was probably previously speculated about in that area. But if it does become a sped up program supported by government, then there would be an opportunity for us to provide scaffold and probably screens for some of those types of projects.
Okay, great, thanks.
Our next question comes from Alex McLean. Alex, your line is open.
Morning, gents. Two from me. First one is, can you just give us a bit more commentary on the returns on your growth CapEx versus expectations?
It's going really well, Alex. So I've actually got a bridge that I'm happy to share, but there's a bridge about what the sort of earnings of ACRO have done over a two-year period from when we were first a public company to where they are today. And the reality is that over that two-year period, we've got $7 million less earnings coming out of scaffold and coming out of residential, partly by choice because we exited residential. So if you start at a position where we made $10 million the first year of the public company, EBITDA, if we hadn't invested in the acquisitions that we've made and the capital program, we'd be talking to you today about $3 million, not $15 million. So the capital element, so not linked to the two acquisitions, the capital element of growth in our profitability over this two-year period is circa $5 million. We've spent $15 million in growth capex over that period, and of that 15, five of it was spent in the last 5 months. So on an annualised basis, the return on investment on that capital, on that, from the growth capex is going to be sort of circa 45 to 50%. Which is, I think it's tremendous that we were able to get those sort of results.
Okay, and I think Andrew called out a CapEx budget, which is obviously a soft budget at this stage of $7 million for 21. Do you just want to give us some colour around that? And
yeah, I mean, look, that's linked to known projects, Alex. So $7 million incorporating maintenance, so it'd be circa 3.5 maintenance CapEx, circa 3.5 growth. And that's the things that we've already know that we're going to purchase through jobs that we've won. Any growth on that $7 million is really only going to be based on other projects that we win. And you know, Andrew used the Sun Metals example. We wouldn't have spent the money we did on that super cup lock if we hadn't have won Sun Metals. But it was tremendous that we were able to buy that equipment, have it paid for effectively on Spurs job, and now it goes into expanded capabilities in the country. So that's the way we approach growth capital these days. We don't, you know, we don't spend money speculatively. We spend money on growth capex specifically linked to either known projects that we've won or think we're going to win, or general. You know, well, actually, no, it's actually just either one of those two. We either won the contract and we need that gear, or we know that we have a strong chance of winning certain contracts and we're going to have the gear ready to go. So, you know, we don't spend money speculatively these days on growth capital. So And we certainly don't spend growth capex that we're not going to get minimum 40% returns.
Yeah, right, okay. Similar to the way you started last year, so that's fine. Final question, rent relief received across the second half. Did that have any impact on the P&L?
There was reductions in rent payments. What was the benefit? That will go into this year again.
Right.
That's about half. All up, our rent relief is about $1 million, and about half of it we're going to get last year, and half of it we're going to get this year.
Okay. Yep. That's helpful. Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to register a question, please press 01 on your telephone. We appear to have no further questions at this time.
Okay, I think that's okay. Thanks very much, everybody, again, for your time today, and thanks for your interest in our business, and I look forward to chatting to you again at the half year. Thanks very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for attending, and you may disconnect your lines.